Today's daf is Bechoris daf Yudtes, and we are at the Mishnah towards the bottom of daf Yudches Amid Beis. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shleima for Shlomo ben Sora Aliza. So the Mishnah and daf Yudzayin Amid Aleph discussed a Sofik Bechor, but a very unique type of Sofik Bechor. The Mishnah discussed a Rochel Shalei Bikra, a Rochel that had not given birth to any child yet, V'yolda Shnei Zchor. And then she gave birth to twin boys, V'yotzu Shnei Rosheim Ka'achas. And they both came out seemingly at the same exact moment. Rabbi Yosef Aglili holds Efshel Etzantzim. As a result, they both have Kedushas Bechor. The Chachamim hold Efshel Etzantzim. And it's for that reason, one of them has Kedushas Bechor, meaning one of them has to be given to the Kohen. The other one, the owner of the Rochel, gets to keep for himself. The question is, how exactly do you implement this halacha? And the Mishnah brought three machloikis in Tanoim as it relates to the Shitas Chachamim. The first was, which one of the two children do you give to the Kohen? Rab Tarfin said, HaKohen Boyer Lo Yasa Yofa. You're supposed to give the better one to the Kohen. Rabbi Akiva said, Nesham Nebeneim, which the Gemara explained means, you're supposed to give the inferior one to the Kohen. The Gemara said, Chaza by Rab Tarfin, but as it relates to the way the Mishnah presents Shitas Rab Tarfin in the Resha, it's a Machloikis, Rab Tarfin and Rabbi Akiva, whether you give the better of the two to the Kohen, Shitas Rab Tarfin, or you give the lesser of the two to the Kohen, Shitas Rabbi Akiva. As it relates to the one that the Yisrael gets to keep for himself, the Mishnah said, it's a Sofik Bechor, because really you don't know which one belongs to the Kohen. As a result, you have to treat it like a Sofik Bechor. Sofik Bechor, you can't have Hanah, because maybe it's a Bechor. You're being Nene from Kachim. You wait until it gets a Mum. A Bechor that gets a Mum is Yoitza L'chulin, and at that point, the Yisrael is allowed to enjoy it for himself. Stating that, there was another Machloikis. This Sofik Bechor that now has a Mum, that the Yisrael, the owner, is allowed to enjoy and do whatever he wants with. Does he have to give Zroyal L'chayayim and Keva to the Kohen? Is it Chai B'matonis? Or is it not Chai B'matonis? The Tanakamo, who the Gemara said is Rav Meir, said Chai B'matonis. Rav Yossi said Potem et Matonis. And then finally, the third Machloikis was, what would happen if one of these two animals would die? So the Rochel Shalei Bikra gave birth to twins. We don't know which one was born first, and now one of them died. What do you do then? Again, a machloikis. Rabbi Tarfin said, Yachloiku. Rabbi Akiva said, Hamoitze mechaveri olivarai. Either way, the Gemara now brings another Mishnah, which is going to mirror this first Mishnah, which is going to bring the same three machloikis in that we just mentioned. Rabbi Tarfin, Rabbi Akiva, Remei, Rabbi Yossi, Tzimtzveitimo, Rabbi Tarfin, Rabbi Akiva, albeit in different contexts. But again, discussing Safik Bechar. Zok to Mishnah. Shei Rechelov, Shalai Bikru. If somebody had two Rechelim, both of which never had a child, the Yodu Shnei Scharim, and each one gave birth to a Zachar. So what's the halacha? It's very simple. Shneim L'Kayim. You give them both to a Kayim. Even though you don't know which Rachel gave birth to which Zachar, but at the end of the day, they're both Bechayim. They're from two different animals. Each animal's Bechar goes to a Kayin. This is very simple. You give them both to the Kayin. Zachar u'nekeva. What happens if one of them gave birth to a Zachar, the other one gave birth to a Nekeva? Even if you don't know which gave birth to the Zachar, which gave birth to the Keva, it's very simple. Has Zachar l'Kayin. You give the Zachar to the Kayin, because regardless of which Rachel it came from, you have to give it to the Kayin. Shnei Zachar m'nekeva echad. What if one of them gave birth to twins, and the other one gave birth to one animal? And it was two Zecharim and one Nekefa. So that you know for sure that one of the Zecharim is a Bechar. The other Zachar, you're not sure if it was born before the Nekefa or if it was born after the Nekefa. So in this case, you already have a Safik. So what's the halacha? Echad lo, you get to keep one. Vechad l'kayin, the other one you give to the Kayin. Meaning, if there's two animals and there's two Zecharim and a Nekeva, so for sure one of the Zecharim is a Bechar. It has to be, right? There's no possibility that one of them is not a Bechar. Could be both of them a Bechar. I don't know. So one for sure has to go to the Kayin, because there's one Vadai Bechar. The other one is a Safik, and as a result, Safik, you're not going to give it to a Kayin. So basically, you're going to take one of the two Zecharim, you're going to give it to the Kayin. The question is, which one? Rav Tarfin says, you give the better one to the Kohen. Rabbi Kiva, you give the inferior one to the Kohen. And the one that you keep for yourself, you wait until it gets a mum, you treat it like a Safik Bechar. Once you use it, are you chayiv matanos? V'chai b'matonis, that's Rav Meir's shita. Rabbi Yossi poit, Rabbi Yossi says, yipot mena matonis. Meis echem mehem. What if one of the two died, and you had to give one to the kohen before you had a chance to give the one to the kohen, the better one according to Rav Tarfon, the lesser one according to Rabbi Akiva. What happens if one of them died? Again, a machloikus. Rav Tarfon, no miachloiku. Rabbi Akiva, oimer, hamoitze mechavei, all of our eyes. Again, it's the same three machloikus that we had in the previous Mishnah, albeit in a slightly different case. The case of the first Mishnah was where you had a rocha shalei bikra. It was one animal, and she gave birth to two scharim. One of them came out first because we're going according to the chachamim that holds ef shalitzamtzim. You just don't know which one came out first. So it's one animal, two zecharim. The question is, which one is the bechar? Three machlik, is it? Rav Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, Ramei, Rabbi Yossi, Rav Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva. This next Mishnah is discussing where there were two rechelim. One of them gave birth for sure to a zachar. The other one, you have a suffix. If it gave birth first to a zachar or first to an akeva, you have a vaday bechar over here. You're not sure which one, however it is. You have to give one to the kohen. Which one? Again, you have the same three machlokes. There's going to be a third case. Shtein akevis v'zachar echad. What happens if the two rechelim gave birth again to three animals, but not two boys and a girl, but rather two girls and a boy? Or shnei zachar v'shtein akevis. There were two boys and two girls. Ain't kain l'kohen klor. Over here, the kohen doesn't get anything because over here there's no vaday zachar because it's possible that the two Bechairs were both Nikevois, and Nikeva doesn't have Kedusha's Bechair. Achas Bikra, Achas Le Bikra. What would be if there were two, a person had two animals? One of the animals was Bikra, meaning she had a child already. Achas Le Bikra, the other one had not had a child. The older Shnei Scharim, and now each one gave birth to a Zachar. You just don't know which one belongs to which. So you have two animals. One's Zachar has Kedushas Bechar. The other one, Zachar, does not have Kedushas Bechar. You have the two Zacharim in front of you. You don't know which one has the Kedushas Bechar. So one you have to give to the Kohen, one you keep for yourself. The question is, which one do you give to the Kohen? So again, the same machlokes. Rav Tarfon, name Rav Tarfon says, HaKohen Beres HaYofer. You give the better one to the Kohen. Rav Kivay Mesham Nebinein. You take. Give the lesser one to the kohen. Vasheni, the one that the Yisrael is going to keep for himself. You wait until it gets a mum. You treat it like a suffik bechar, and at that point you can use it. What about matonis? V'chai b'matonis. Rabbi Yossi Boiter. Rabbi Yossi Omer. This is the Rabbi Yossi where he explained the shita that the Gemara discussed in detail in yesterday's daf. Kol shechalipa biyad kohen patam en matonis. We discussed this already in great detail yesterday. But the longest of Rabbi Yossi is that we look at the Yisrael as if he's buying the animal that he's keeping from the kohen, but as if it was baliyat kohen, asu chachamim es she'enoi zoicha kizoicha, and it's for that reason you put them in a matanos, because if you buy an animal from a kohen, you're not chayiv now to give zroi l'chayim and keiva. Rameh mechay, Rameh said you are chayiv and matanos. Meis echamim, what happens if one of them dies? Rab tarfonam yechloiku, Rab kiva oimer, hamoitzi mechaveroi, olav ha raya. Zachar nekeiva. What would be if these two animals would give birth to a Zachar and a Keva? Ain't Kamal Kain Klod. In that case, no one's going to be chai, because you don't know for sure that there's a Bechar. If you know for sure there's a Bechar, that's when these three machloikis and trigger. Meaning, you know for sure there's a Bechar, you just don't know which one is the Bechar. Meaning, when you talk about Safik Bechar, there's two sukkahs. The Safik Bechar, does it have Kedushas Bechar or does it not have Kedushas Bechar? What's the halacha of Safik Bechar? You don't give it to the Kohen. Hamoitzim Mechaveri Olav Araya. At the same time, maybe it has Kedushas Bechar, so I can't just go ahead and use it. A Bechar is also Begiz of Avoida, for example. This is Issa Me'ila, so I can't just go ahead and do whatever I want with it. Yirat Yistoyv, you let it sit and pasture until it gets a mum. Once it gets a mum, now already I'm allowed to do whatever I want to do with it. That's the classic Safik Bechar. What's unique about the Safik Bechoros that we discussed here, three cases that the Gemara is going to discuss now, is that these are Safik Bechar where I know for sure I have a Bechar. I just don't know which one is the Bechar. So then the question is not whether I have to give something to the Kohen. The question is which one do I give something to the Kohen? That's a whole different Shulchan Aruch. That's a separate Simon in Hilchas Bechairis. Those are two Mishnayos in right here in Mesechtas Bechairis in the second parak. Which one do I give? Rav Tarfon says the better one, according to the Mishnah Rishayna. Rabbi Akiva says the lesser one. Am I chayv and matonis on the one that I keep? Achleikis Rabbi Rabbi Yossi. What happens if one of them dies? Rabbi Tarfon says Yachloiku. Rabbi Akiva says Hamoitzim Echaveroi Oliver Rice. Again, is the classic Safik Bechar where I don't even know if I have a Chiyuv Bechar. That's easy. And then there's the Safik Bechar where I know for sure I have a Bechar. The Safik is which one is the Bechar? Not do I have a Bechar, but rather which one is the Bechar? That's these two Mishnayos that we learned right here. But these two Mishnayos are really made up of three Tziyurim. The The first seer was a Racha Shalai Bikra. She gave birth to two Scharim. You don't know which one came out first. Ef Shalot Sam, same. So it's one, it's not both. The question is which one? So you have a Suffolk, which one is the Bechar? The second one was where you had two Rechelim, not one animal, two animals, both of them were Loi Bikru, and you have three babies now. You have two Scharim and one Akeva. One of them for sure gave birth to a Zachar. The other one gave birth to a Zachar and a Keva. Incidentally, the Rishonim speak out that there's no tzad that one gave birth to triplets. You have to know that. Because if there was a tzad, just theoretically, that one of them gave birth to triplets, maybe all three animals belong to one, and then a Keva was born first. So then you have to have a Safik Bechar. So for some reason, that wasn't a tzad. So we know for sure that the three came from two. One of them for sure has a Bechar. The other one, I'm not sure. Again, you have the same three-way machloikis. And then the third seer, which is the seifa of the second Mishnah, is we have two rechelim. One of them was bikra already. One of them already has a mishpucha. The other one is giving birth now to her first child. And you have, again, two scharim. You just don't know which one belongs to which. The one that has a family, its offspring is not a bechar. The one that doesn't have a family, its offspring is a bechar. So again, you don't have a suffix whether you have a bechar. You know you have a bechar. You have a suffix, which one is which? And the Gemara begins with the obvious question. And that is, why do I need three cases to tell me the same? Rav Tarfon, Rabbi Akiva, Rav Meir, Rabbi Yossi, Rav Tarfon, and Rabbi Akiva. The principle seems to be the same. Where I have a suffix, not do I have a Bechar, but rather which one is the Bechar? So how do I go about it? So you have here a Shulchan Aruch. Why did the Mishnah have to repeat itself three times? Because I only had the first case, the case of the Rachel, Shaloi Bikra. One Rachel gave birth to two. You're just not sure which one is first. But Yikam Rabbi Akiva, maybe over there Rabbi Akiva said it's halacha. That what? You give the inferior one to the Kohen. You don't give the better one to the Kohen. The Trei Michada. And that's because two came from one. So over there, there's no way to know which one is really the Bechar. And being that there's no way to know which one is really the Bechar, so Rabbi Akiva holds that there's no way to know which one is the Bechar, so there the halach is, Misafik Mamin, Hamaitse Mechaveri, all of it right. Abel, here's the punchline, Rechelim Shaloi Bikru. But in the case of the two Rechelim, the Trei Michada, the Chad Michada, where one gave birth to two and one gave birth to one, maybe over there, maybe there is going to be moided to Rab Tarfon, that there's a way to know which one is the Bechar. You know why? Because there's a svara to say that if someone is born on its own without a twin, it's going to be shaviach tvei. It's going to be somewhat better because it wasn't in the womb together with another child. And as a result, it's mistaber then that just look at the animals and whichever one is the most mishubach, that's probably the one that was not with a twin, and that's the way you're going to know. So look at the two scharim. The one that's better, that's more mishubach, that must be the one that's not the twin. So maybe over there, Rabbi Akiva is going to be moided to Rab Tarfon, because Rabbi Akiva's whole halacha of a moitzim mechaveri all of a raya, give the lesser one to the kohen, is predicated on I don't know what to do. So safik moment, a moitzim mechaveri all of a raya. But maybe over here there is no safik moment. Where they're for sure twins, they both came out together, so you don't have that litmus test. There's no way to say that, let's see which one's better. That one probably didn't have, no, they're both twins. So they're both in the same exact spot. But in the case where one is a twin and one's not a twin, that was the case. So if so, maybe there's a way to figure it out. So maybe at the very least, let's try that. It can get us at least close to where we need to get. And as a result, maybe that would be the right way to look at it. So that's why we needed the second case of Rabbi Akiva's own. Yes, Mina Bahab. And had we only had the second Rabbi Akiva, meaning the first and the second, welcome Rabbi Akiva the Travai Loi Bigru. Maybe over there, Rabbi Akiva said is halacha. Because at the end of the day, they're both Bechayrim. So it's true. One had a twin, one didn't have a twin. No, that's not such a svar. Aval achas bikra. The achas shaloi bikra. But what would be if one of them had given birth to children already, and the other one not? The odu shnei scharim, that was the third case. So one of them is a Bechar, one's a firstborn, the other one's not a firstborn. We don't know which one is which. So maybe it's easy to know which is the firstborn. For sure the Bechar is better. So if the Bechar is b'metzi is better, so this is going to be very easy. So maybe over here, meaning in the first case, they're both Becharim. In the second case, they're both Bechayim. What do you mean the first Bechayim in the first case? Only one's a Bechayim, only the one that comes out first. But from the mother's perspective, this is her first labor. This is her first childbirth. This is the first time she's having a child. It's a question, was Yodei Yechezes Bakei Vesav, right? Which one, punkt, came out first? But they're both Bechayim to a degree. In the second case, they're for sure both Bechayrim. It's just a question of, did you have a twin? Did you not have a twin? Okay, so those Svaris, Rabbi Akiva said, are not Svaris. Can't be Machria, which is the Bechar, in those two cases. But over here, where one for sure is a Bechar, and one is not, one is the seventh child already, so it's not a Bechar, it's being born into a large family. So maybe there's a Svara to say that the animal that's born to a mother through her first childbirth is Meshubach Tvei. So maybe over there, Rabbi Akiva should be Moided to Reb Tarfon, that you take the letter when you give it to the Kohen, because there's no Safik Mamen, Kamash Mon, and even then you look at it as a Safik Mamen, and that's why the Halacha is, Hamoitze Mechaveri Olava Raya. Just one Ha'ara before we start the next Mishnah, and that is, so you see an idea here in the Gemara, that the Bechor is Meshubach Tvei, and the Gemara is using it in Svaras of Safik Mamen. We even have a Havamina, that maybe it could be Machria Safik Mamen. In fact, Reb Tarfon, in his Mishnah Rishayna, right? The Gemara said Rabbi Tarfon was chayzer from his whole Shita. So as much as we keep on repeating Rabbi Tarfon Shita, the Gemara says Rabbi Tarfon was chayzer from his Shita. But the point is that as it relates to the sugya, there's definitely a theme that there's something mishubach, something better, quote unquote, about a Bechar than the other children. And it could be, therefore, if you had a suffix, which animal is the Bechar? Look at the better animal. Now, the Gemara says it in the context of animals, not in the context of human beings, but it would seem that you can cut and paste and apply this formula and principle as it relates to human beings as well. But I'll just tell you one Ha'ara that I saw in the Sefer Megadim Chadashim, once upon a time. It's in Parshas Kisetze. It's on the Pasuk, Ki Asa Bechor Ben Asnua Yakir Losses Loi Pishnai. So we know that a Bechor has certain Mailois. Most notably, in Hilchas Yerushais, when you learn Perek Yesh Noichlin, he gets Pishnayim. He gets double what the other brothers get. So the question is, why does he get Pishnayim? So he brings from the Sefer Yodai Bakoil. Yod Bakoy was one of the Kadmoinim who said, "Vezel l'shoinim." Quoting, "Api mashal Amru Razal shal haroiv habechoyros heim bilti hagunim." For the most part, bechoyros are actually bilti hagunim. They're somewhat second rate. Yan, why? Because ba may resichus damei shal adam. Because they're born from resichus damei shal adam. Sheoz hazivu gal haroiv mishum hana veloy mishum mitzvas kiyam hamin. Levan Ruvain Shayuracious Oinoi, Kidara Yakavir Alabashon Tipas Keri Meyoilam. But the point is that the Bechor, being that he's born earlier in his parents' life, so it's a result of Tashmish Shal Hana and Resichas Adam, and it's for that reason Al Haroiv, they're born with Resichas Adam and they're bilti hagun. Kivin Shal Haroiv, Abachar Karav Liyah is bilti hagun. I'm reading from the Sefer Yodar Bakal. Being that for the most part they're in a hagun, Roy Laharbois Benachlo. It's for that reason the Torah said we should give them a lot of money. Sheyitel Pishnayim, the Kivin Shiyele Mame Berevach, being that the Bechor is going to legally have access to money, Lo Yavoi Bechlal Allah, Vekachash, he won't have to start making shvuos, he won't have to deny things, Uritzayach Veganov, or to come Lide Ritzicha, and Geneva, Sheim Dvarim Hanim Shachim, Michisar Mame, which are things that people often do when it comes to money. Ubefrat, especially for people that wake up already behind the eight ball. They have bad chunas and nefesh. So these people, when it comes to money, are certainly more alo, they're more vulnerable to come to these averis. So says the other Bakal, you want to know why the Torah gave Pishnayim to the Bechor? Because the Torah was yoyered l'soif daitai, that this Bechor is mizgeira, and as a result, we have to make sure that he's financially set. Because if he's not, who knows the types of averis that this person's going to end up doing? That's why we give him Pishnayim. Then he continued, and he said, "Mizeh hatam hoyu avoida b'bchayres." That's why the Bechor did the avoid. So, Pasha, you think, why did the Bechor do the avoida? It's miroiv maila. It's because of a maila. He was very choshev, right? The Levian have kedusha. So, before the Levian, it was the Bechayres. You would think that it was mitzad malosam. No, it's just the opposite. He said, the reason is, l'man kiruv amalak kedusha. This is kiruv. We had to be makar of them. We understood that they need a little bit more kedusha. They need to be niskarev. And as a result, we tell them, you come to the Beis HaMikdash, you do the avodah. If they'll be closer to the avodah, this will be a way to get them not to do this. Either way, he brings this from other svarim that where he said the same exact idea. So regardless, we have a gemara over here. That's just the opposite. That the Bechor seems to be more stark. I mean, this is maybe more physical. This is more in the world of heebie-jeebie. Mizgam ra, and tchunas ha-nefesh, and mazalois, etc. Just interesting as it relates to physical and maybe metaphysical characteristics of a Bechor versus a Pashut versus one of the other children. On that note, another intense omit. Zok de Mishnah, Yoytze Doifin. Yoytze Doifin is a child that's born cesarean. C-section. It wasn't a natural birth. And in the laws of Becharis, that's very significant. Because when the Torah talks about a Bechar, Torah doesn't just say the firstborn. Torah says that as well. But the Torah also says Peterechem. And Peterechem means the animal that opens the womb of its mother. To the extent that the animal was not born naturally, it was born Yoytze Doifin, so even if it's the Bechar, but it wasn't Peterechem, it didn't open its womb, it came out through the stomach. So it's for that reason, a Yoytze Doifin, which always has a special place in Halacha, has a very special place in Halacha when it comes to Hilchos Becharis. So it's Dr. Mishnah, a Yoytze Doifin. What happens if an animal gave birth to a Yoytze Doifin? And then afterwards, it gave birth to another animal, and this time naturally. So to a degree, we have two Becharis. Or maybe we don't have any Becharis. The Yoytze Doifin, to an extent, is a Bechar wife. It's the firstborn. The Haba Acharav, assuming that both Zecharim, is also to an extent a Bechar. Why? Because it's the Paterechem. Or maybe no. Maybe in order to be a Bechar, you have to be both. You have to be the first, and you have to be the Paterechem. Or maybe only Paterechem matters. Right? There's a few different possibilities in terms of how to look at this. So what's the halacha? Again, a machlekes. Yoytze Doifin v'Haba Acharav tarfonei mishneim yirat she'istavu. They're both viewed as Safik Bechar. What do you do with a Safik Bechar? You have to let it sit around until it gets a Bechar, a mum, the Yechlebu mum on the Bailim. And when it gets a mum, even the Bailim is allowed to eat it. Meaning, Reb Tarfon was Masupik on each one. A Yoytze Doifin. Is it a Bechar? Is it not a Bechar? Reb Tarfon wasn't sure. The Ba'acharav, the Peterechem, that came second, but after a Yoytze Doifin. Thus, it's the Bechar from the Peterechem perspective. Is it a Bechar? Is it not a Bechar? Reb Tarfon wasn't sure. So if they're both Sveikos, Safik Bechar, Reb Tarfon said, Yirachi Estavu, V'yoichle B'mumun L'bay, Reb Kiva, Reb Kiva says, Shnei Emein Bechar. No, it's very simple. They're both not a Bechar. Harisha, and why? Mibnei She'en a Peterechem. V'ashen, Mibnei She'kod Me'acha. The first one's not a Bechar, because not the Peterechem. The second one's not a Bechar, because not the first one. It was the second one. I mean, according to Reb Yekiva, it was Pashit, that in order to be a Bechar, it has to be both the first one, and it has to be Peterechem. If you're the second, but you're the Peterechem, or if you're the first, but you weren't Peterechem, so you're Yoytze Doifin, you're not going to be Bechar. So Reb Tarfon was misupik about these two cases, A, the Yoytze Doifin, and B, the Peterechem, meaning the first one that's born naturally. Thus, he said, treat it as a Safek Bechar. Rabbi Kiva had no Safek. Rabbi Kiva was 100% certain that the only time you consider it a Bechar is if you have both milas. You have to be Sai the first, and Sai you have to be Peterechem. And if you're not, there's no Kedushas Bechar at all. What's the machlek? Rabbi Tarfon, Masafkele Bechar, Lover Echel, you have a Bechar. Rabbi Tarfon wasn't sure if an animal has one of the tchunas of a Bechar. He's a Bechar L'dover Echad. Is it a Bechar? Is it not a Bechar? That's what happens in the Mishnah. These are both Bechar L'dover Echad. You have to treat it like a Safek Bechar. But keep it pshit today. Bechar L'dover Echad lo yhavi Bechar. Now the Gemara is going to elaborate on this. No, Tanu Rabbanon. This is the intense part. Miklal Hatzorech Leprat. Umiprat Hatzorech Leklal Ketzat. So familiar with Rabbi Shmuel Leimer. But Yud Gimel Midos. HaTorah Nidrashas Behem. So there's 13 Midos HaTorah Nidrashas Behem. And many of the Yud Gimel Midos revolve around Klal Uprat. So the Torah, when it presents different halachas, will sometimes use general language and then use more specific language. And Rabbi Yishmael, in the Shloish Esrei Midos, SheHaTorah Nidrashas Behem, gave us guidelines how we're supposed to interpret Psukei HaTorah and Dinei HaTorah that involve language of klal and language of prat. The most obvious one is klal uprat. If the Torah mentions klal and then the Torah mentions prat, what's the rule? Ein bechlal ela masha beprat. Prat u klal. Klal prat u klal. Yatan ali ein prat. The seventh of the Yud Gimel Midos HaTorah Nidrashas Behem is miklal shehu tzorich leprat umiprat shehu tzorich leklal. So what exactly is a klal shehu tzorich leprat and a prachut sarach l'klal? That's exactly what this Bryce is coming to address. But it's kedai to speak it out outside first, and then we'll go through it inside. Ordinarily, if the Torah mentions a klal, and then the Torah mentions a prat, the way we darshan it is ein bechlal ela masha beprat. Rashi, in his beer of the Gemara, gives us a classic example of a klal uprat. It's a kachim example. It's a pasuk right in the beginning of Sefer Vayikra. The Torah says, dab Vayikra el Moshe. Literally, the first pasuk can say for Vayikra. Dabra b'nei Yisrael v'yamarta leim. Odom ki yakriv mi ken karbin l'Hashem. A person's going to want to bring a karbin. Min ha-behema, min ha-bokar, u-min ha-tzoyin, takrivu es karbanchem. Says Rashi, this pasuk is the quintessential klal uprat. The Torah says, you want to bring a karbin. What's a karbin? Min ha-behema. Could you bring a chaya? Rabbi Yechon Rish Lakish, Tzvachim Ma'amadalad. But min ha-behema. The Torah says, no, it has to be a min ha-behema. Min ha-behema is a klal. It sounds like any behema. Then the Torah gives a prat. Not every behema. Min ha-bokar. Uminatzoin, takrivu as korbanchem. So it's a klal uprat. The klal is mina behemo. The prat is mina bokor minatzoin. The rule is ein bechlal. So even though behemah is very general, at the end of the day, you could only bring a carbon from bakar and soin. If it's not bakar and soin, even if it's behemah, I had said mina behemah, but then there was a prat. And the rule is, ein bechlal, elo masha beprat. What would be if the Torah mentioned another klal afterwards? So then it would be klal pratu klal. We would say the second klal is moisef on the prat, so that it's not ein bechlal elo masha beprat, but rather, it's a little bit more inclusive. Ein bechlal elo ke'ein ma'ashe beprat. So that's klal uprat, klal prat du klal. Then there's something called klal hatzorach leprat and prat hatzorach leklal. That setup is exactly like the setup in this pasuk, but there's one difference, and that is a klal hatzorach leprat is where the klal is a little bit unclear. It's missing information. It's a little ambiguous. So from the klal itself, I wouldn't be 100% sure what the klal means. Thus, it's tzorech leprat. It needs the prat to help it out. The prat is like the Rashi, it's the Tosfos, it's the Rishonim. It's explaining the word. I'm not sure what the word means. Kumtz again, the prat, and the prat clarifies the word. The reverse is the same thing. Or if I have a prat, and the prat is somewhat unclear, so I'm not exactly sure what the prat means. Kumtz again, the klal, and the klal clarifies the prat. Where I need the prat to clarify the klal, or I need the klal to clarify the prat. Over there, you don't say klal uprat, ein bechlal elamashe beprat. Rather, what do you say? You say that the prat is not limiting the klal to the prat, it's just clarifying the klal. And the klal is not adding more to the prat other than clarifying what the prat is. So when you look at the klal and the prat, and you get the sense that I need the klal to be mevayir the prat, or I need the prat to be mevayir the klal. So then you don't darshan it with a klal uprat. Now, what's an example of that? First, why is this not an example of that? The classic case of klal uprat, Rashi says, ein bechlal ala mashab uprat. This is not a klal atzarech leprat, it's not a prat atzarech leklal. This will bring out the point simpler. Min abehema is not chaser any beer. You know what a behema is. So when you read these words, Adam ki yakub mikan karbon lashem, min abehema, yanakas min abehema, what's a behema? Everyone knows what a behema is, right? So if you know what a behema is, doesn't this klal, min abehema, doesn't need a prat. This is not a klal atzorech leprat. Everyone knows what a behema is. When you see the prat, min abakar min atzoin, is there anything unclear about the words bakar and zoin? Everyone knows what bakar is, everyone knows what zoin is. And if that's the case, it doesn't need a klal to be mevayir what it is. So this klal min abehema is not tzorech leprat. It doesn't need bakar and tzoin to define what the behema means. Behema has a very straightforward definition. Bakar and tzoin, the prat, is not tzorech leklal. It doesn't need the word behema to define it. As a result, it's not a klal at tzorech leprat and a prat at tzorech leklal. It's a klal uprat. If, however, there would be some chaser havana in the klal, or there would be some chaser havana in the prat, over there you would say that it's not a klal uprat, ein bechlal lala masha beprat, but rather it's a klal hatzorach leprat, and it's a prat hatzorach leklal. So what's an example of a klal hatzorach leprat and a prat hatzorach leklal? The sugya that we're learning right now. Kedushas Bechar. Zok de Gemara. What's an example? It says in the Torah, Kadesh li kol b'char, the end of Parashas Boy, Kadesh li kol b'char, petek korechem b'vnei Yisrael, ba'odom uva behema lihu. Yochel, I would have thought, afilu nekeva b'mashma, from the words Kadesh li kol b'char, I would have thought, it could be a zachar, it could be in a cave. Talmud loymar. So the pasuk says zachar. Now incidentally, that word zachar, it doesn't say in that pasuk. That's in Devarim. It's in Parshas Re'eh, Perik Tezvav. The pasuk there says, "Kol abachar she yevolei bevkarchu v'tzoncha hazachar takdish l'Hashem." But the point is that it says kadosh kol bachar, which is a klal, and then it says zachar, which is a prat. Now this is a little tricky. This klal uprat is a regular klal uprat. This is not a klal atzarech leprat or prat atzarech leklal, because the word zachar is not helping define bachar. A bachar could be a zachar, it could be an akeva. Zachar is to Bechar what Bakar and Soin are to Behema. It's just a good old-fashioned prat. And as a result, the rule is Ein Bechlal Elamashav a prat, which is exactly the way this Braisa is darshaning in the first of what we'll see are three tziyurim in the Braisa. So the first part of the Braisa, even though we set it up as if we're going to now tell you this new novel
one of the Yud Gimel Midrash HaTorah Nidreshes Bem, which is Klal HaTzorach L'Prat, HaPrat HaTzorach L'Klal, the opening remarks is actually not that. It's the good old-fashioned Klal HaPrat. It says Bechar, then it says Zachar, and it means not every Bechar, but only Bechar that's a Zachar. It's the next part that we need. E Zachar, I would think, Yochel HaFilu Yotzeh Sonek Evel HaFanav. What would be if you had a firstborn Zachar, but it's not the firstborn child? Because before the Zachar was born and a Keva was born, you would think that maybe it should be a Bechar. Why not? Talmud Loimar, the Pasuk says, Peter Rechem. And being that it says, Peter Rechem tells me that it also has to be the first child, in the sense, the child that opened up the womb of the mother. And if the Zachar came after an Akeva, it's not the Peter Rechem, and it's for that reason, it's not going to be a Bechar. E Peter Rechem, had I only had Peter Rechem, Yochel Afila Yotzach, a Yotze Daifen, I would think even if it came after a Yotze Daifen, as long as it's the Peter, it's a Zachar, and it's the Peter Rechem, so if it comes after Yotze Daifen, should have Kedushas Bechar, Tamalayim Bechar, I have Bechar. It's the latter two parts of this Braisa, which the Gemara is going to call the Reisha and the Seifa, but Rashi says it's really the Mitziyasa and the Seifa, because the real Reisha was the Klal Uprat, the regular Klal Uprat, that's Mamayit Nekeva, but it's the second and the third cases of this Braisa, which are the Klal Atzarech Leprat and the Prat Atzarech Leklal. The point is that in this case, when the Torah says Bechar, and this is the punchline of this whole discussion, is that when the Torah says Bechar, Bechar can mean a lot of things. Bechar could mean the first child that's born. Bechar could mean the Peter Rechem. Bechar could mean that if the first Zachar that's Ba, Achar, even an Akeva. Meaning the word Bechar is a little bit unclear. We know what a Behema is. We know what Bakar and Tzayin is. But we don't know what Bechar is. There's a little lack of clarity. So when the Torah uses the word Bechar as a Klal, and then the Torah starts using language of Prat, such as Peterechem and Zachar, you can't darshan it as a Klal of Prat. The only time you darshan it as a Klal of Prat is if I don't have any chisaron in beer as far as what the Klal means. But being that over here, the word Bechar could mean a few different things, it's for that reason I don't have a right to darshan a klal prat. And essentially what the Braisa did was it gave an example of a klal hatzarech leprat and a prat hatzarech leklal. Again, we know that only a zocher has kedusha. That I know from a regular klal prat. But is zocher yochal filu yotzon a kevel afanov? I would think that the first zocher, maybe bechar means, now that we know bechar means zocher, it means the first zocher. Maybe that's what a bechar is, even if it came after an akeva. Thus, Torah said peter rechen. The gather of the Peter Rechem is that the klal of Bechar has a prat that's being mevaeret. It's a klal at sorach leprat. A Peter Rechem tells me that the first zocher is not kaddish, but it has to be a zocher and the first child that's born. From Peter Rechem itself, you would have thought maybe the Peter Rechem after the Yotze Daifen. So the prat itself is also a little bit unclear. Because the word Peter Rechem, does it have to be the first one also? Or does it just have to be the first Peter Rechem? So the prat is Sarach Leklal. And it has the Klal Bechar. So again, the Klal of Bechar is Sarach Leprat Peter Rechem. And the prat of Peter Rechem is Sarach Leklal Bechar. And it's between the two that I end up with a klal at zarech leprat, a prat at zarech leklal, as opposed to a regular klal uprat. Zok the Gemara. Amli Rav Shravi Labai. Rav Shravi told Abaya that l'chayr from the Brice itself, I have a little bit of a kasha. What's the kasha? Reisha loikonasav latamud b'chor. What was the reisha? The reisha said that if a zachar is born after an akeva, you would think it has kedushas b'chor. Meaning, based on the word b'chor, maybe the first zachar you would think it's a b'chor. That's why we needed Peter Rechem, it's a klal atzarech leprat, to tell me that the first zachar is not going to be a b'chor. Meaning, the word b'chor itself, you would have thought maybe can mean even the first zachar, even if it's born after an akeva. Kamash Malon, no, Peter Rechem. And if it's not the Peter Rechem, because an akeva was born already, it's not going to have Kedushas Bechar. But from the word Bechar itself, you would think maybe it does have Kedushas Bechar. What's the kasha? I'm a Bechar l'davar Rechem avi Bechar. Obviously, the Tana of the Braisa holds that the word Bechar could be soivel, even a Bechar l'davar Rechem. That was the Machlokes Rav Tarfon from Rabbi Akiva in the Mishnah. But the point is, the word Bechar could mean that. That's why the klal is sarach leprat, peter rechem, tell me it doesn't mean that. But without the klal sarach leprat, you would think that maybe Bechar means even Bechar ledav erecha, as long as it's the first zachar, even if it was born after the nekeva. Okay, what's the problem? Seifa kanasav latam u'da Bechar. The problem is the seifa.
Because what was the Seifa? The Seifa said that had it said Peterechem, you would think the first Peterechem, even if it was born after a Yotze Doifen, Talmud Loimar, Bechar. What do you mean Talmud Loimar Bechar? What do you see in Bechar not that way? You see Bechar not that way because Bechar's mashmud has to be a full-fledged Bechar. Alma Bechar L'davar Echad Loyavi Bechar. If you're going to tell me Bechar L'davar Echad Havi Bechar, and how do I know you're entertaining the Tzad Bechar L'davar Echad Havi Bechar? Because otherwise the Klal's not Tzarech L'prat. Otherwise, why do I need Peter Echad to tell me a Zachar after Nekev is not a Bechar? It's anyways not a Bechar. There it says, no, it's the first Zachar. And a Bechar L'davar Echad Havi Bechar. So how do I know from the word Bechar that a Zachar that's born after a Yotze Doifen doesn't have Kedushas Bechar? Because it says Bechar. It is a Bechar. It's a Bechar L'davar Echad. So from the Reisha, it's Mashma Bechar L'davar Echad Havi Bechar. That's why I need Peter Rechem. It's a Klal HaTzarech L'Prat. From the Seif, it's Mashma Bechar L'davar Echad Loi Havi Bechar. And that's the Prat HaTzarech L'Klal to be Masber, that just because you're the first Peter Rechem, but if you're not the Bechar, you're going to be Nismayet. Zok Gemara. This was Rav Shravius Kasha Tabaya. It's a good Kasha in Cheshbe. On Malaysia, he told him, Oilam Bechar L'davar Echad Loi Havi Bechar. Really, Bechar L'davar Echad is not a Bechar. If Bechar L'davar Echad is Loi Havi Bechar, so what's the Kasha? The Kasha is the Reisha. Why in the Reisha do I need Peter Rechem to tell me that a Zacha that's born after an Akeva doesn't have Kedushas Bechar? I know it anyways from the word Bechar. Bechar is Mashma the Bechar. And if this Zacha was born after an Akeva, then it's Bechar L'davar Echad. And Bechar L'davar Echad we just said is Lo Yehavi Bechar. So the Gemara says you have to tweak the Reisha a little bit. V'Reisha Hachi Kam I Zachar Yachal Afilu Yoytze Doifin. You would have thought that if a Zachar Yoytze Doifin was born, it should have Kedushas Bechar. Tamalayim V'Peter Rechem. For that I have Peter Rechem. In the case where a Zachar was born first, and the Zachar was a Yotze Doifen, which was one of the cases Rav Tarfon Rabbi Akiva discussed in our Mishnah, that Bechar is not considered a Bechar L'davar Echad. Because right now it's the only Bechar. There is no other Bechar. So being that Bechar is the only Bechar, we don't look at it as a Bechar L'davar Echad. Even though it wasn't the Peter Rechem, it was born Yotze Doifen, but it is the entire Bechar. That already, being that it's not a Bechar L'davar Echad, so you would have thought that maybe that should be considered a Bechar. For that, I need Peter Rechem. It's a Klal HaTzarech L'Prat to tell me that it's not going to be a Bechar. Incidentally, Rashi speaks out that the way you read the Gemara is not that you magia the Braisa, but the Braisa is still learning from the word Peter Rechem that a Zachar that's born after an Akeva is Nismait. But the point is that the Kasha was, why do I need the Prat of Peter Rechem to be Mema'it, the Zachar that's born after Nekeva? Tape a glay, if a Zachar is born after Nekeva, it's a Bechar L'davar Echad, and you tell me Bechar L'davar Echad, lo yavi Bechar. The Teretz is that once we mention Peter Rechem to be Mema'it, a Zachar Yoytze Doifen, where it's not a Bechar L'davar Echad, and that's only Nesma'it from Peter Rechem, so Bederech Agav, that would be the reason that the Zachar that's born after the Nekeva is Nesma'it as well. But Enechanami, if all we were going to need is the one halach of Zachar after Nekeva, you wouldn't need the Prat to Terechem to Mimayit. I would know that it's a Smayit from Bechar anyways, because a Bechar L'davar Echad Loi Havi Bechar. That's the first Teretz of the Gemara. The second Teretz is Ravina, Amal Loi L'Bechar L'davar Echad Havi Bechar. Really, Bechar L'davar Echad is a Bechar. If that's the case, then what's Pshat in the Seifa? How in the Seifa could we say that Zachar Bechar that's born after a Yotze Doifen doesn't have Kedusha? Why? Because it says Bechar, Bishloim of Bechar L'davar Echad, Loi Havi Bechar, then it's very good. But now you're telling me Bechar L'davar Echad Havi Bechar. So why is it Nismait? Because it came after a Yotze Doifen, but it's the Peter Echem, it's a Bechar L'davar Echad, I thought Bechar L'davar Echad Havi Bechar. It says the way you read the Seif is as follows. The Seif Hachi Kama, Isol Gadaitach Yotza, Acha Yotze Doifen, Kadosh Bechar. If you're going to tell me that the first Pater Rechem after the Yotze Doifen has Kedushas Bechar, Bechar the Kasa Rechman, Alamali, why did Torah write the word Bechar? Meaning the Drosha in the Sefer, Ravina said, is not from the word Bechar. The word Bechar teaches me nothing. Because the word Bechar could mean even the first Pater Rechem. Because Bechar Lodava Rechad, Avi Bechar. What we're doing is we're darshaning the extra word Bechar. It's just an extra word. That word teaches me this halacha. Why? Because why else did the Torah say, Ilam utehechad yatsan akeva lefanav, if it's coming to be memait, a case where an akeva came out before the Zachar and Peter Rechem nafkali. That was the Reisha the Braisa. We already made that from the Elishma Mina Bechar, lemutehechad yatsach yatsadaif. And the word Bechar, it's not the mashmois of the word Bechar. The mashmois of the word Bechar, Kubi doesn't teach me anything.
Because as it relates to the mashmoyos of the word bechar, bechar lo davar echad havi bechar. It's the extra of the word bechar. It's the fact that it's miyutah. That's the side of the drasha. Shma mina bechar lo mute hechad the yoytza achi yoytza defen. Amalei Rav Achim and Diftilu Ravino. Rav Achim and Diftilu Ravino. Isol gadayt bechar lo davar echad havi bechar. If you're right, and your cheshbon of the brisa that bechar lo davar echad havi bechar, which makes sense then why the ratio needed pet the rechem, it's a klal atzarech leprat, to tell me that the first zachar, if it's born after the nekeva, has a bechar, because otherwise you would have thought it's not a bechar, because otherwise you would have thought it's a bechar, because bechar lo davar echad havi bechar. And really, if that's the case, you can't learn from the word bechar that a pet the rechem after yoytza doifin doesn't have kedusha, because bechar lo davar echad really havi bechar. It's just from the fact that the word bechar is extra. It's not the mashmoyis haloshen, but it's from the fact that you have an extra word. He said, if that's the case, then lechayre in lechabay el kedusha. He explains it. Isol gadayt bechar lo davar echad havi bechar. Teinach echad yotze zachar yotze doifin vezachar derech rechem loy kadosh de imit leida mibchar de bechar lo rechamim mikah bechar lo zachar mleka. Maybe the word bechar is only memait where a zachar was born peter rechem after a zachar of yotze doifin. Meaning, you have an extra word bechar. It's coming to be memayit something. Maybe that's what it's coming to be memayit. But what would be if an akeva was born derech doifin, and then v'zachar derech rechem, and then a zachar was born derech rechem, likadesh, toi ikka bechar l'scharim v'bechar l'rechem. Maybe over there it should have kedusha. Why? Because there, it's already the bechar l'scharim, and it's the bechar l'rechem. Bishloim of bechar l'dover echad. So when the Gemara is saying that a pet rechem that comes after yotze doifin is not the bechar, it means everything. Because bechar means the firstborn. And if it came after yotze doifin, you're not a bechar. It doesn't matter if the yotze doifin was a zachar, if the yotze doifin was in a keva. But the way Ravina is learning bechar lo davar echad havi bechar. So when the Braisa said that when memai pet rechem after yotze doifin from the word bechar, it meant that there's something extra in the pasuk, and the something extra is memai something. Okay, so tafasta meruba lo tafasta, tafasta mo tafasta. Maybe it's only memayit where you had a zacha yoytze doifin and then a zacha peterechem. So this zacha peterechem is not even the first zacha. So maybe that's what's the smile from the word bechar. But if the yoytze doifin was in a keva and then a zacha peterechem was born, maybe over there it won't be nismai. A geshmak a kasha. El machvarta kida abaya. It's a right to the first pshat in the Gemara, not the second pshat in the Gemara. Hadron aloch haloi keyach ube parasa. This next amud, the hemshach of the staff, is super lumnish. We're going to get into some real noshim, nezikin, roiv, and sfeikin, and chazakis. So some really, really geshmaka hemshach of the daf into the next few dafins. Zok to Mishnah, likech behemah menoivik echavim. Somebody bought a behemah from a non-Jew. V'ini idea in bikram lay bikram. He has no idea if this animal ever gave birth to a child or didn't give birth to a child. Now, a goy's animal that gives birth to a child, there's no kedushas bechar. If you have a non-Jewish partner, there's no bechar. Yad oivet kechavim be'emtsa is already enough for there not to be kedushas bechar. But over here, you bought it from the non-Jew. It's yours now. You have 100% ownership on this animal. So it's pashit that if this animal now gives birth to a child, you're going to be chayiv in bechar. Problem is, you don't know the history of this animal. And you have no idea if this animal ever gave birth or didn't give birth. Now it gave birth to a child. So what do you do with this child? Does it have kedushas bechar or does it not have kedushas bechar? Rabbi Shmuel says, Eiz bash nasa vadu l'koyin. If the animal that you bought was a goat, and within the first year of its life, it gave birth to a child, it for sure belongs to a koyin. You know why? Because an animal can't give birth to two children within the first year of its life. A goat, that is. As a result, if it gave birth to a child now, you know for sure it didn't give birth previously. Oh, this has to be the bechar. If it has to be the bechar, you have to give it to the koyin. Mikan ve'elach, after the first year, it's a safek. You don't know what to do. What do you do with a safek bechar? We know already. Rachel bashtayim. What would be if it was a rachel? It wasn't a goat. It was a sheep. Then the halach is, if it gives birth to a child within the first 2 years of its life, v'aday l'koyin. Because a sheep can't give birth to two children within the first 2 years of its life. Mikan ve'elach, if it gives birth after 2 years, you don't know what to do. Safik, you treat it like a safik bechor. Par v'chamar, what if it's a cow or if it's a donkey? Then b'noi shalosh v'ad l'kayim. If it gave birth to a child within 3 years, if it sure goes to the kayim, mikan ve'elach, anything that happens after 3 years, safik is going to be a safik. Amalei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva told Rabbi Yishmael, lad Rabbi Akiva, ilu b'vlad b'vada behem nefteres kidvarecha. He said, Rabbi Yishmael, if the halacha would be that when do we say that when an animal gives birth to a child, it's not a bechar? Only if it had already given birth to a child previously that was zeresh shel kayam. If that was the case, you'd be right. Because there's a goat can give birth to two healthy children within a year. Rachel within 2 years, a par and a chamar within 3 years. I'm not arguing with you, Metzias, said Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Yishmael. But I have a halacha that I think you're overlooking. And that is, what would be if an animal would miscarry a child? The halacha is, if it gives birth to a child afterwards, the child wouldn't have Kedushas Bechar. Because that's not considered the first child. It's considered the second one. The miscarried child is considered the first child. And said Rabbi Akiva, a goat can't give birth to two Vlodei Shel Kayama within 1 year. But it can miscarry and then give birth to a child. So said Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Yishmael, it's based on that that I disagree with your halacha. Rabbi Akiva explained, Ilu bevlad bovada behim nefteres kidvarecho. If the only way an animal would be potter from a char is if it first had a vlad kayemes, then afterwards we would say the second vlad is potter, then you're right. Because if an ace gives birth to a child within a year, it could not have been that it already gave birth to a vlad shel kayama. But Rabbi Akiva said that's not the halacha. Elo amru chazal said, simen avlad bevehem adaka atinuf. Behem adaka, what's the simen? Meaning, what's the definition of a vlad as it relates to the halachas of Bechar? So that we'll say that once it has this simen, the next child won't have Tinuf, that's some sort of discharge. That's a sign of a miscarriage. Ubegasa, as it relates to Ubehemegasa, Shilya, if the amniotic sac would come out of the animal. That would be a simen that there was a child, so that moving forward, this animal's not shaykh to Bechar anymore. Ubeisha, as it relates to a woman, Shvir Veshilya, either the child itself, the fetus, or the amniotic sac. The point is, so said Rabbi Akiva to Rabbi Shmuel, I disagree with your halacha. In other words, Rabbi Shmuel said that if an ace gives birth to a child within the first year, it's Fishor Bechar. Why is it Fishor Bechar? Because it can't give birth to two children within a year. The same issue for Rachel in 2 years and Baruch in 3 years. The machlokes is, Rabbi Akiva tells Rabbi Shmuel, it's not true. Because although it can't be that an ace gave birth to two healthy babies within 1 year, but it's possible that it miscarried and then it gave birth to a healthy. And had it miscarried, that would also pop to the second one from Bechar. Meaning the second one's also going to be a Safik Bechar. So even if it gives birth within a year, we still look at it as a Safik Bechar. Then the Mishnah mysteriously concludes, Zeh, klal, kol, shiyadu, shabikra, inkam, klein, klom. If you know that an animal already had a Bechar and now it gave birth to another child, the Kohen doesn't get it. For sure, it's not a Bechar. Kol Shaloi Bikra, if it didn't, Hareza L'Koyen. Vim Sofik, if you're not sure, Yoicha B'mumei L'Bailum, we'll see what this means in the Gemara. Zok the Gemara. Mikan Ve'elach, Amai Sofik. What's the halach in the Mishnah? We had a machloikis Rabbi Shmuel Akiva with regards to what happens if an animal, a goat, gave birth to a child within the first year of its life. Or Rachel gave birth to a child within the first 2 years of its life. A par chamar within the first 3 years of its life. We don't know the history of this animal. You bought it from a Gentile. You have no idea what happened. The question is there Bechar or is there not Bechar? So Machloik is Rishon Rabbi Akiva, how you treat it during that first year, second year, and third year, respectively, depending on which animal you bought. But what about Mikan Ve'elach? What about after the first year for a goat? After the second year for a sheep? After the third year for a cow and a donkey? What's the halacha over there? The halacha is that it's a suffix. That was Rabbi Shmuel's lashon. Is bashnasa vadi l'koyin mikan ve'elach suffix. Rachel bashnayim vadi l'koyin mikan ve'elach suffix. Parvachemar bashalish vadi l'koyin mikan ve'elach suffix. So the Gemara is focusing on the mikan ve'elach suffix. Says the Gemara mikan ve'elach amay suffix. Halachacha roiv behemos v'roiv behemos besabes v'yodis b'toich shnasan inu. Why do you look at it as a suffix? Why don't we say, yeah, there's a suffix if this animal had a baby or not? But most animals apparently are misabris v'yodis. They do have children. So why don't you go basurai? Assume there was for sure a child, and if there was a child, then this animal that's born later is vadei not a kohen. So why is it a suffix? Maybe you have to give it to the kohen. Why don't you go basarai? V'havadei neled oiled. Zok de gemara leimer Rabbi Shmuel k'rameyus v'yilei. Is it possible that Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rameyah? De chayish l'miyuta. Who's chayish l'miyuta? Meyashita throughout Shas is that you don't just assume Roiv, but you always have to be Chayish for the Miyud. So maybe Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rameir. Incidentally, Rameir was a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel. Rameir was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. Rameir was also a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel. Ayin Erev and Daf Yud Gimel, he learned by Rameir, and then Rabbi Shmuel. And I mean, so he learned by Rabbi Shmuel, then Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Shmuel again. But the point is, it says the Gemara, maybe Rabbi Shmuel is going Beshitas Talmud of Rameir. Or maybe
Rabbi Shmuel.
He's just arguing with that point, I hear. Leim Rabbi Shmuel Kramer, I hear what you're saying. Leim Rabbi Shmuel Kramer, Sfile, the Chai Shlom Yutas, like the Gemara, no. Afilu Teima Rabbanon, Ki Azli Basa Ruba, Beruba. I mean, Rabbi Kiva never said anything about that, but you're right. Rabbi Shmuel was the one that said, Mikan Ve'elach Safik, but I hear you, Kasha. So, the Gemara, Afilu Teima Rabbanon. Maybe really that this would be going according to the Rabbanon. That argue with Rameir, and that are not Chai Shlom Yutas. Ki Azli Basa Ruba, but maybe one of the Rabbanon
not chayish l'miyuta, meaning when did they go basaroiv? That's beruba de isek kamon. That's by a ruba de isek kamon. Kegoin teisha chanuyos, such as the case of teisha chanuyos. This on hedging. What are the classic cases of roiv? What's the case of teisha chanuyos? So there were 10 stores in a city. 9 of them sell kosher meat. 1 of them sells non kosher meat. Now you found a piece of meat, and you don't know which store it came from. So you go basaroiv. We say call the parish meruba parish. What's the case of the Sanhedrin? There's a court case. Is Reuven chayiv misa? Is it not chayiv misa? So you take a bezin of 23, and we take a vote. If 13 say is chayiv misa, 10 say is not chayiv misa, he's going to be chayiv misa. Those are the classic cases of roiv. In those cases, the rabbanon are not chayiv shlemiyuta. We assume 100% the roiv. But those cases are unique in that they're ruba di isay kamon. What does it mean? It's ruba di isay kamon. The roiv is in front of me, and the miyut is in front of me. Literally, isay kamon. The roiv is in front of me. The 9 stores that sell kosher meat are right here. You know exactly where they are. You can give a person directions how to get there. The miyut happens to also be isek kamon. In the case of the 23 dayanim, there's 13 dayanim that are sitting right here in the lishkas agazis. We know exactly who they are. We know they're the ones that said chay. The 10 that said zakei. So maybe it's over there where the roiv is isek kamon and the miyut is isek kamon. Over there, you have this halacha. Avo ruba the lesser kamon. But in a case where the roiv is lesser kamon, leyazli rabbanon baser ruba. Maybe over there you don't go baser roiv. So time is the gemara. You want to bring a raya from here. That Rabbi Yishmael is chayesh lemiyuta. Wow, he holds like Rav Meir. Maybe this is not such an exciting diak. Because this is a case not of a ruba de isay kamon, but rather a ruba de lesser kamon. And it could be by a ruba de lesser kamon, the rabbanon never argued with Rav Meir. Everybody is chayesh lemiyuta. So we explain the ruba de isay kamon. What's a ruba de lesser kamon? That's a case where you have a roiv, but you don't have the roiv or the meir in front of us. So what would be classic examples? I mean, this is a classic example, but what would be other classic examples? Roiv behemois are not treifa. So we don't mesach the schulin, perikele treifas, all these halachas. So when you shecht an animal, you don't have to assume that maybe it's a treifa. You don't even have to be baidik, right? The only bedikah you have to do is you have to look for sirchas on the lungs. That's the only bedikah you have to do. Because you're always allowed to assume the roif. The roif animals that are not treifas, are they in front of you? We have all the animals in the world in front of you. Roif of them we know are not treifas, and a miyat of them are treifas. No, the roif is not in front of you. The miyat is not in front of you. That's a ruba de lesser kamon. How do you know if who somebody's father is? Gemara says you go basar roif. Roif bilas achar abal. It's not pshat that there's bilas abal, and then there's bilas iser, and there's iser. No, this is the ruba de lesser kamon. We just assume that for sure, roif of, even if there's a suffix that maybe his nus took place, it would be a mirt. And roif bilas for sure would be achar abal. Thus, you can assume the child came from the roif, and based on roif, makov of imam yumas, kabbatas of vichavasi mecha, etc., etc. Those are cases where the roif is lesser kamon. In our Mishnah, the roif is not iser kamon. The roif is lesser kamon. What's the roif? Most goats give birth to animals during the first year of their life. You don't have all the goats in front of you with the roif that do and the miyat that don't. It's a ruba de lesser kamon. So says the Gemara, even though we know the rabbanon hold you go bas roif yina chayish lemiyuta, maybe that's only by ruba de isa kamon, maybe that's not by a ruba de lesser kamon. If that's the case, it's true. From the fact Rabbi Yishmael said mikam ve'ilach sofik, that's a raya that he didn't assume roif. It's a raya that he was chayish lemiyuta, but not necessarily that he has to hold like Rav Meir. Because Rav Meir's chiddush of chayish lemiyuta is beruba de isa kamon. That's where the rabbanon argue with Rav Meir. But maybe beruba de lesser kamon, even the rabbanon agreed to Rav Meir. So it's not such an exciting deal. But the Gemara says that can't be. You know why? This doesn't even get onto first base. Because v'katan ektana beruba de lesser kamon, v'kazu rabbanon baser ruba. Because the classic case, the shittas Rav Meir. Right? If somebody asks you, Rav Meir's chayish lemiyuta, what's the makar? So the Gemara tells it too throughout Shas. But what's the makar? What's the source? Exhibit A. Where did Rav Meir state his halacha of chayish lemiyuta? It's a Mishnah Mesechtes Yevamos. The case is katan v'ktano loy chalitza v'lemi yabim. If a katan or a ktano loy aleinu full of yibum, so there's no chalitza and there's no yibum. Meaning a katan can't do yibum v'chalitza, and a ktano can't be involved in a yibum v'chalitza. Divi Rav Meir amulai. So the chachamim told Rav Meir, yofa amar tashin chalitzin. I agree with you that a katan and a ktano can't get involved in chalitza. Why? Because ish kasev a parish. In the parish of chalitza says ish, which suggests an adult, a bar mitzvah, umakshin, an ish l'ish. And once I know ish as well. But matam eme yabim. Why can't they do yibim? It doesn't say ish regarding yibim. Yivama yava yava. So why can't they do yibim? I'm a lehem, sir. Meis, I'll tell you why. Shema, katan shem yimatzi saris. Because I'm worried that this katan, when he gets older, maybe will be a saris. Ktana, I'm worried shem yimatzi islandis. Maybe she'll be an islandis. Venimtsu paigim be'erv. A saris and an islandis don't fool li yibim. Saris islandis is one of the big sugis in the first barak of Mesachtes Yivamas. So a saris and an islandis don't fool li yibim. If they don't fool li yibim, it's
it's Eishes Ach Shaloi B'makoy Mitzvah, you're dealing with Erev over here. So Rav Meir looks at a cotton and he's worried that maybe this cotton, when he gets older, is going to be a Saris. He looks at a Ketana and he says, maybe this Ketana is going to be an Islandess. Rabbanon said, maybe, I hear. But Rav, Zulbasir Rav Ketana, Rav Ketana Lav Sarisa Ninu, Zulbasir Rav Ketanais, Rav Ketanais Lav Islandess Ninu. In other words, it's true, there's a possibility, but you have a Rav. The machlokes remain in the chachamim, whether he chayes lemiuta or lechayes lemiuta, was with regards to the halacha of a katan and a ketana. Can they do yibum or can they not do yibum? Ramey said they can't do yibum because right now we don't know if this katan is going to be a saris or not, if this ketana is going to be an ailus or not. On the side, the katan's a saris or the ketana is an ailus, there's no yibum. It's eches ach shaloi b'makom mitzvah. It's mamish. Gili Arayas, it's Chayvei Krisos, it's Parashas Achrim Moish Kedoshin, these parashas. There's no way you can go near such a thing. As a result, you don't do it. The Chachamim say that I hear, but Roiv Ketanim are not Sarisim. Roiv Ketanim are not Islanders. Zilbas Aruba, Rameis Chayish Lemuta. This Roiv, is it Aruba de Issa Kamon, or is it Aruba de Lesa Kamon? Of course it's Aruba de Lesa Kamon. You don't have all the Ketanim and the Ketanois and the Islanders and the Sarisim and the not Islanders and Sarisim in front of us. This is Aruba de Lesa Kamon. Rameya said over there is Halacha of Chayish Lemuta. And the Rabbanon over there argued. So you see clearly that the Machlokes Rameya and the Chachamim is not only by Aruba de Issa Kamon, it's even by Aruba de Lesa Kamon. If that's the case, it would apply to our Mishnah as well. So again, Rab Yishmael says that after the first year of the A's, you have to treat it as a Safik Bechar. Why do you treat it as a Safik Bechar? Why don't we say, Halach Acher Roy Behemoth, Roy Behemoth, Mesabris Vyaldois? So what's the Gemara suggestion? Lema Rab Yishmael Krameyas Virle? Do you have to say that Rab Yishmael held like Rab Meir Uzchayesh Lemiyuta, says the Gemara in the first Teretz? Yes, Elam Arava Machvarta, Rab Yishmael Krameyas Virle, the Chayesh Lemiyuta. The takeaway from this Gemara is, Rab Yishmael holds like Rab Meir Uzchayesh Lemiyuta, therefore he didn't want to just go Basarai Rav. You know, I'm a Vilo Temi Rabbana. You could say that Rabbi Shmuel really held like the Rabbanon. He has the Rabbanon Basaruba, but Ruba the Leitali the Mice. When does the Rabbanon say you go Basaruba, you're not Chayish Lemiyuta? That's something natural. So naturally, most men will not be Sarisim. Most women will not be an Islandist. What's the Roiv here? Roiv goats, during the first year of their life, they're Misarbis V'yogis. But it's only going to happen if there's a Zivog. It's Toli B'maisa. Any Roiv that's Toli B'maisa, Loi, over there, could be the Rabbanon hold, you don't go Basar Roiv. Over there, the halacha is, you're going to be Chayesh Lemiyuta. Just one takeaway from this Gemara, and this will segue into the raid that we're going to talk about tomorrow. It's Fester raid in this Gemara. But just one Ha'ar, and that is, from the Gemara, it would seem that Aruba de Issei Kamon is a stronger Roiv than Aruba de Lesa Kamon. So much so, the Gemara entertained the tzad that it could be that Rav Meir is Chayish Lemiyuta. The Rabbanon argue with Rav Meir. The Rabbanon aloi Chayish Lemiyuta. Maybe it's only by Aruba the Issa Kamon that the aloi Chayish Lemiyuta. But by Aruba the Leisa Kamon, maybe they are Chayish Lemiyuta. Right? What was the setup of the Gemara? The Gemara had a diak from our mission that Rabbi Shmuel is Chayish Lemiyuta. Why? It's only Rav Meir is Chayish Lemiyuta. Does it mean Rabbi Shmuel holds like Rav Meir? Or says, no. Maybe the whole chiddush of Rav Meir is by Aruba de Issa Kamon. And it's over there that Rabbanon argue with Rav Meir and our loy chayish lemiyuta. Our mishnah, that's Aruba de Leisa Kamon. Aruba de Leisa Kamon, maybe even the Rabbanon are chayish lemiyuta. In other words, Aruba de Issa Kamon is a better roiv. From the roiv perspective, Aruba de Issa Kamon is a stronger roiv. Thus, the Gemara entertains the possibility, for a fleeting moment, but the Gemara entertains the possibility that it could be even the Rabbanon who argue with Rav Meir and Aloi Chayesh Lemiyuta, it's only by Aruba de Issa Kamon that the Aloi Chayesh Lemiyuta. But by Aruba de Leisa Kamon, over there maybe they're Chayesh Lemiyuta. And the truth is, it's a Mefurish Gemara, Kemat, that supports this diak. And that is a Gemara Masechta Schulin, Daf Yod Aleph, a classic Gemara. The Gemara says, Minoha Milsa Damir Rabbanon Zul Basaruba. What's the makar to the fact that you go Basarai? Zak the Gemara, Minolon, Tchsev, it's a passing in the Torah. Achre Rabbim Lahatois. What do you mean? You have a bezin, you take a vote, and you go Basarai. Zak the Gemara, no. Ruba the Issa Kamon, Kigoin Teisha Chanu Yois, Visanejan Lei Kamibai. My question is not how you know you go Basarai by Ruba the Issa Kamon. Kikamibailon, Ruba the Leisa Kamon. Kigoin Kotan Uktana, Minolon. My question is not a Ruba the Issa Kamon. My question is Ruba the Lesa Kamon. What do you see in the Gemara? That even after the Gemara had a makar that by Aruba the Issa Kamon you go Basarai, the Gemara still needed a makar that you go Basarai by Aruba the Lesa Kamon. It's the same Yesoid. That Aruba the Issa Kamon is a better roif. Thus, in our Gemara, there's a tzad that the Rabbanon Achayish Lemiyuta by Aruba the Lesa Kamon. It's only by Aruba the Issa Kamon that they're not. And in the Gemara in Chulun Daf Yud Aleph, even after you have the makar, Taker, right? Everyone knows the sugya Chulun Daf Yud Aleph. It's an often quoted daf. But the Gemara brings different makar is how you know roif. What do you mean? You need psukim, how you know roif?
You know, right, Achir Rabbim Lahatois. The Gemara said that. The Gemara asked the Kasha. But the Gemara said that only helps me for Ruba the Issa Gamon. The reason you have to come on to Makkah of a Ve'imai and all these other fancy Makairis is because I need a Makar for Ruba the Lesser Gamon. What do you see from there? Ruba the Issa Gamon is not a Raya to Ruba the Lesser Gamon. No, this Ruba the Issa Gamon is a better Rive than a Ruba the Lesser Gamon. Clear. As I state in Bechiris Yates, as I state in Chul Yeral. Well, we're going to see tomorrow, Mietz Hashem, that in the world of Raid, it's just the opposite. A Ruba the Lesser Gamon is actually a much better Rive than a Ruba the Issa Gamon. As I state in Shef Shmeitzah, and as I stated, Chuvis Chsam Soifa, Vadvarim Atikin. That's Shem tomorrow's daf.